worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. They'll eat your guts and spit them out. And when your bones begin to rot, the worms remain, but you do not. So don't ever laugh as a hearse goes by, for someday you'll be next in line. And when death brings his cold despair, ask yourself, will anyone care?
Macabre may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Okay, so the story comes from a nurse practitioner who works in a big hospital in Indianapolis. I won't say the name of the hospital, but basically he was working in one of the units that deals with like drug and alcohol.
Okay.
Where they're going through like recovery or withdrawals, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained it to me that this person was on day three, or was at the point of day three. And when you're at that point, you should not be having any more delirium tremors or hallucinations.
Okay.
So that should kind of be out of your system.
Okay.
So for whatever reason, this patient all of a sudden started experiencing things that they shouldn't be experiencing at this point, should have been completely out of their system. They started speaking in Latin. It required six individuals to hold this person down physically. Their body was lifting up off of the bed. And the nurse that I was having this conversation with is a very well-built man, very physically strong. So six people were required to hold this guy down. This person was cursing, speaking in Latin, making all the weird noises that you would imagine that someone would be doing, as you would expect in some sort of like a case of possession. And the guy that I was talking to, this healthcare worker, was saying that it was the first time that he ever experienced the thought of like, I need to start praying. He said, I started praying for myself and everyone in that room. And he said, I knew without a doubt that whatever was happening was not medically, it was not related to anything medical. He said, I knew that it was whatever was happening was something entirely different. And he said, I will never forget it. For whatever reason, this patient was able to speak in Latin and make all these weird animalistic noises and all this stuff. And like, we could not physically hold this person down. He said the only the way that we could control him, we had to like shoot him with, I don't know the word, the name of it, but like Profanol or something like that. I may not be saying that right, but some sort of like drug to like knock him the fuck out.
That's all that could help them get him under control.
Yeah.
What happened to this guy? Like,
he was alcoholic. He was alcoholic. Yeah, but
after that, like, did he say, like, did they call somebody in? Like, they just let
him go? No, they knocked him out.
What happened when he came to?
No, I don't know, but there was an episode that occurred.
Holy shit.
That he was a part of. And he said, medically, that should not have happened. People will go through like the delirium tremors and have hallucinations at a certain point of that detoxing stage. But he was medically past that point. It should not have happened. So whatever happened, he said it was not medically, should not have been medically possible for that to have happened. He said, I felt it in my gut and in like my spirit or whatever you want to call it. He said, like, physically, this person should not have been as strong as he was. He was not like a big guy. And it took six of us to hold this person down.
Nope.
And plus, you know, speaking in Latin is just not something that people just all of a sudden have the ability to do.
Right. That should be your first sign. Like,
so
negative energy is not allowed.
Negative energy. And so he said, this is something I will never forget. He's been a nurse for 7 years. And this was something that he said he's never experienced anything like this and something that he'll never forget.
That is fucking insane. I would have gotten out. I'd be like,
Yeah. No. And I mean, he's worked in psych. His background is in psych. That's where he came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it wasn't like that.
Right. Yeah. I know we've talked about it before. You know, they have a system for things like that. You know, if somebody thinks that they're possessed or somebody else thinks the person is, possessed, they have to go through every single thing with therapy and psychology before they'll even consider it. But I'm sorry.
All the testing. Yeah.
Yep. If you're able to, especially Latin, if you're able to somehow just start knowing how to speak that, and if you physically don't look like you can bench press a whole group of people, you know, and then you can, I'm sorry, but yeah. Those are some signs that maybe we should just start with doing some exorcism stuff, because that's a whole other level. That's, well, oh man.
When we talked to Bishop Long, when we did the exorcism expose in season one,
mm-hmm.
you know, he talked about the fact that people walk around in their everyday lives with influence.
Yep.
And attachment. And this is how it affects people in their normal lives, is that maybe not a full-on case of possession, but that these addictions, these afflictions are a manifestation of these attachments. And so when someone is severely depressed or someone is suffering with alcoholism, that can be the manifestation of this attachment. Mm-hmm. It has taken over this person's body in that way. This demon or whatever you want to call it is attached to this person's body, and it is it is manipulating and sucking life out of this person and is drowning them in alcohol.
Yeah.
And so it's not unreasonable to think that in that moment that it wouldn't be able to like cause this person to have a moment of possession, because this is a stage where this person is going through a detox.
Right.
You know, so it's like a last ditch effort to where this thing is like almost getting unlatched from this human. So you would almost like be in real time seeing this thing fight back at the point of the breaking of the release.
Right. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's so terrifying. That's something we should revisit too. Just kind of talking about, it's things you don't think about that are signs, you know? He even talked about it being like a financial thing. Like if you just have like the sudden urge to go on the shopping spree and you're like not caring if you drain your bank account or whatever, that is also an example. It doesn't have to be like some elaborate,
Well, yeah, you could almost look at the seven deadly sins, right? Mm-hmm. If you looked at those as a form of influence.
Yep.
Like he was saying, his was gluttony, right? Because he had gotten up to like, what do you say, 400 some pounds? 400?
Yeah.
20 some pounds. So in that, his demon was the influence of gluttony. Like he was just eating himself to death.
Right.
And so, spending your life savings, gambling, alcoholism, greed, sexual addiction. There's so many different things that can ruin a person's life. Mm-hmm. And if that's the goal of these entities, there's a lot of ways they can destroy human life.
Exactly. Yeah. it's something that people just don't think about. You know, it doesn't, we kind of talked about this too, but like Hollywood makes it think like it's some huge, elaborate boom of, you know, experience or, but it doesn't have to be.
Oh, and it can happen slowly.
Yep.
Over long periods of time.
Mm-hmm. And it starts little by little until it just grows to be.
And think about, like, with most addicts,
mm-hmm.
you know, who struggle with that their whole lives. Like, they'll get better, then they'll relapse, and they'll get better, and they'll relapse. You know, it's like really challenging to get rid of that.
Yep. Exactly.
So, I don't know.
That's terrifying.
You know, I have my beliefs on... I don't know. I have my own set of beliefs on certain things, but yeah, it's really interesting to hear that from a healthcare worker's perspective when they do have the background in science.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at the scientific perspective and they deal with it day in and day out. And then they have this experience. And they're like, oh, this is not science.
Yeah.
This is not science. Yeah. You know, this case was like, this is something else.
Yeah. I think, I mean, this could be a whole, it could be a whole podcast in itself, honestly, because this shit is wild. It goes deep. It goes forever and ever back into history. But I hear a lot of times from people from other podcasts too, or just in general, things that they look into, the more you look into some of the crazy, weird shit that goes on in the world, the more you realize that something's weird. Like, stuff can't be explained away, you know, sometimes. And, like, to me, it just, like, the more we look into shit, the more it just, like, reaffirms things for me. You know? I minored in religious studies in college, and I had to take a seminar on evil in not just, like, Christianity, but, like, evil in other cultures, other religions, evil from around the world, different types of evil. And, you know, I took it because I was like, that's intriguing. You know, I knew going into it based on the summary and the synopsis for the course, it's like, we're going to talk about like true crime and stuff like that. And I was like, that's really interesting. Yeah. And then you get into the class and you're like, holy shit, this is big. This is deep. And this is stuff that you can't deny. There is some evil shit out there. And no matter what you believe in, no matter where you come from, this shit is real. This is real.
So do you believe in the idea? And I know we talked about this a little bit when we were talking with Bishop about that whole idea of like balance of good versus evil. Do you think that is even real? Like, does that have to be a thing? Does there have to be a balance? Or do you think it's just like, whatever? Who says there has to be a balance?
Mm-hmm. It's a really good question. It's a really good discussion topic. What I think is that there is a balance of sorts. But what that balance looks like, the best way I could describe it without it like getting into like this like hours long conversation is that there is evidence out there. And now, like, it's probably going to sound like really crazy for me to say it like this, but there is a battle going on. It's going to sound stupidly crazy, but it's true. Like, the balance is a battle. and the battle is between good and evil. Now, whether you believe in that or not, or whether, you know, how you grew up, this is something that starts not with just the physical body, but whether you believe in a soul or not, that's what the battle is over. And think of it in a scientific way of a soul being energy.
Well, that's where I was going to go. I was going to say, if you want to get more scientific, you could probably break it down to like positive and negative energy more so.
Yep. And there are different things that are wanting to influence that energy, to put it on their side or the other side. What we consider using certain terms makes it religious, right? We can take it out of the religious context if we want to, and it's still going to mean the same thing. But how people really will immediately recognize it, if you're talking about demons, people know what that means. Now, do we know exactly what demons are? Do we know what form they take? Because that's the other thing, that there's things that exist that we can't put our thumb on, but we know that they're fucking around, you know?
Yeah, there's something, can't explain, but we know that they exist, or at least we have an awareness of them.
Right.
Or at least they seem real to us.
Right. You know, I have my own beliefs. I have beliefs coming into this, but the more we talk to people, the more we hear, the more we research for the show, to me, it's just affirming the things that I have learned in school, the things that I know from my beliefs. And it's just a matter of the face that they take, which makes it creepier to me, because this is shit that we deal with that we're not able to see until it comes into like a manifestation like that.
Well, I think that's a good segue for a little piece that I started working on, a little Hometown Macabre. I could probably roll right into that.
Do it.
Do you want to talk about Wolf Manor?
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, friends, let's do it. Since we're already here, we might as well do that. I'd say for listeners that are up and up on like the ghost hunting shows and things like that, you're probably pretty familiar with Wolf Manor. It's known as one of the most haunted locations in the U.S. Unfortunately, it was demolished in 2014. We'll get into that. So it no longer exists as it once did. If you're just now joining us, you have been listening now for almost 20 minutes. So thanks for listening.
We're getting deep.
My name is Hallie, if you don't know me by now.
I'm Blair.
And this is Macabre. So now we're shifting into a segment we like to call Hometown Macabre, where we talk about more kind of local spots, local legends, local lore, local locations that have a macabre history. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk about the Wolf Manor. So this one's going to be kind of a shorter little snippet, just because there's not a lot of information that is available, I guess, other than like you can do some research and just dive into YouTube, and you know, you can watch some of the ghost shows if you want more, I guess, firsthand accounts of experiences that people have had. But I'm just going to give you kind of a history of the location and a few little stories that I was able to find.
I'm excited.
So on this episode of Hometown Macabre, we are exploring one of California's most haunted locations, a once grand estate turned into a site of tragedy, one with inexplicable and numerous ghostly encounters. So grab your flashlights. The ladies of Macabre are going to take you ghost hunting. So gather your gear. In this episode, we'll uncover the dark past and spectral legends surrounding the infamously haunted property of Wolf Manor. So let's start with the history. It was built in 1922. It's a four-story mansion in a tiny town in Clovis, California. It was built by a young tycoon by the name of Anthony Andreotti, who had hopes of fame and fortune. Now, the rumor was he wanted to work in Hollywood. He had dreams of being a magician. Now, I don't know.
I was not expecting you to say that.
I know. I don't know how true that was, but that was one of the little macabre morsels that I found. But it was built as his private residence, and he specifically built it for his wife. Wanted to have a beautiful property for her. It was known as the Andrews Estate at that time, and it boasted an astonishing 8,000 square feet.
Wow.
So it's quite opulent, and it sat in a beautiful area near the location known as the Gateway to the Sierras. So if you are familiar with that part of California, just a gorgeous geographical location near the Sierra Nevadas. So with that being said, a mansion of this size required a tremendous amount of upkeep that unfortunately forced Mr. Andreotti into bankruptcy just a few years later. So by 1926, he was completely bankrupt. Can't make that much money on a magician's salary. Unfortunately. And, he didn't do so well and turned to alcoholism, which did lead to his death in 1929. He was only 36 at the time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So he drank himself to death, basically. So this was the first of the tragedies at what we now know as Wolf Manor. But it was the only, it was only the first of many at the property.
Ooh.
Now, not long after Andreotti's death in 1935, the home was actually converted into the Hazelwood Convalescent Sanitarium. And at that time, it was converted into this facility to treat patients with terminal illnesses. And at this point in history, the primary terminal illness would have been tuberculosis.
Okay.
We're still dealing with that epidemic. It was killing people left and right. And it maintained under the same ownership as the sanitarium until 1942. And then it changed names again and took on an expansion of adding a hospital wing. So at that point, when it added the hospital wing, it became known as the Clovis Avenue Sanitarium. And this is the point where it went a big, rapid change with this addition of the hospital wing. They also added new treatments. This expansion added 33 beds to their long-term treatments. They only had 53 beds at the time prior.
Oh,
so
that
kind of gives you the context of how big the expansion was.
Mm-hmm.
And then the main focus of the addition was for them to treat psychiatric conditions.
Okay.
So this is where we really shifted to a darker turn in the history of the property.
Oof.
So we're talking about early 1940s, and health standards were not what they are today. We're dealing with a lot of psychiatric conditions. So you can only imagine kind of what the conditions would have been like.
Mm-hmm.
Was a big mansion, but still, it was a lot of overcrowding. There were rumors about naked patients being tied to the beds, naked patients just like laying out in the hallways, patient mistreatment, not too far off from what we had talked about back in season one of our B for Bedlam episode. Major overcrowding because they just were like putting patient after patient after patient. Patients did not have their own rooms. It was said they were like, you often see like five or more patients crammed in a room.
What?
They put beds literally anywhere they could shove a bed. And the patient to nurse ratio was something like 20 patients to one nurse.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that would not fly today.
Oh, definitely not. I don't know what the ratio is, but yeah, the workload would have been, I mean, there's no, I mean, just, yeah, no, not a good situation. One of the documentaries I saw, there were even some employees who admitted in interviews that they personally were responsible for the mistreatment of patients.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd want to go. It. Yeah, I don't know why you'd want to go on and admit that, but I think they just felt guilty, and I don't know if they were just trying to like come clean, but yeah, they admitted that they were responsible and that there was a lot of that going on. I'm sure that there were budget issues, things of that nature. That's always kind of like a fallback to say, well, we didn't have like the means to do it right, or whatever. One practice that might have contributed to the heavy energy and possible hauntings at the manor is how and where they would store the patient bodies after they would die. So when a patient would die, they would take them down to the basement and just keep them down there until a family member would come get them.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know the conditions of like, if they had an official, like, morgue. I mean, normally, because normally basements are cooler anyways, because, you know, underground, there's usually, I don't know what the temperature range is, but it's, don't quote me on this, but I want to say it's usually like in the mid 50s or lower 50s or whatever. But I don't know if they had like an official morgue down there. Maybe they did at some point, but early on, I don't know. I don't know if they were just putting them and stacking them down there, but not good.
No.
And they're just waiting for Sally to come pick up Uncle Charlie.
And that's the thing is, like, did they like make the family members wait in like the foyer area? And be like, probably. Oh yes, we will go and get him for you. You know?
Probably.
Oh. Just be like, don't tell her that, you know, that he had dust on him, you know, or, you know, just like stuff like that. Just like, oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But whatever it was not good. And it probably went on for that, like a while like that. But yeah. So this went on for a while. And then in its final years of operation, starting in the 1960s, it was converted again into a different business altogether. It was a nursing home. So it stayed a nursing home until it got shut down for some permitting issues in the early 1990s. So that was kind of its like last leg, so to speak, was in the 90s. And then in 1996, it got bought, or, you know, that's when the Todd Wolf, which is where the Wolf Manor name came from, took an interest in it and started investing in the property. And he saw an opportunity to convert it into a haunted house attraction. And initially, he opened it up for a couple weeks around Halloween and had people come in and, you know, just kind of used it as sort of a haunted attraction. when Todd was setting this as a setting this up initially, before it even opened, I found a interview with him, and he had told a story of one of his experiences about how something had come up behind him and touched him on his lower back. And he thought that like it was someone that was working with him, like had touched him.
Yeah.
And he asked the crew like, oh, like who touched me? And he's like, the crew was like, oh no, it wasn't us. Like there was nobody behind you. It's like, okay. So I was like, you know, it was like his first experience. And then another incident, he said early on, he was doing some decorating on one of the walls in the mansion. And he looked out of the corner of his eye, and there was a door to his right, which is where, you know, his attention was drawn. And he said he like turned, and there was a full figure of a man standing in the doorway.
What?
He said he could see the arms, the legs, the head, and the figure was all black. And within a split second, this thing like rushed at him. And he said, like, he jumped back, you know, because obviously this thing like ran towards him.
Ooh.
He said, whatever it was, like, it rushed at him. And as soon as he jumped back, this thing, like, disappeared. But he said he felt like it was trying to make its presence known, like, this is my territory kind of thing.
Oh.
And he's like, yeah, I, like, got out of there real quick.
kind of thing. That gave me chills. Not only to see that, but then to have it rush at you.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, shadow figures are a pretty common thing that people experience. I think, you know, in this location, too, the shadow figures are pretty regular. And we've talked about this before, too, with Waverly and also with Bishop Long about how people experience shadow people differently, right?
Yes.
Because Bishop had said, oh, I've never really had like a bad experience, really. If I remember correctly, he was like, oh,
yeah.
And I'm like, everybody I know that's experienced a shadow figure has never had any
kind of a good
feeling or good. I mean, granted, a lot of times they don't really do anything, they just kind of stand there, but you always get that like heaviness about that, you know?
Exactly.
Doesn't feel good. No. It always feels foreboding and like you need to get the hell out of wherever these things are.
Right.
Ugh.
That would be an interesting episode.
Oh,
just
yeah.
talking about shadow people.
Oh, yeah. Well, and now that made my brain go to a scientific place too. The idea of like the blackness. Because one of the things I've heard too, and also like with the Hat Man theory, how the black is blacker than the darkness of the room.
Yes.
So if you think about that and the feeling that you get, and you think about like the idea of like a black hole. So it's almost like an energy suck. Probably not maybe choosing the right words, but you know what I'm saying. Like, so it's like it draws in everything around it. It's like it's so dark and so negative that it would pull in whatever it could to try to and that would explain the feeling that you get when those things are around.
Right.
Blech.
Yeah. And then, you know, there are theories out there that they're from another dimension, which would almost correlate with like the sucking of energy because it's using that to, you know,
like manifest or.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's creepy, though.
Yeah. Ugh.
And then if they show up, because you know how sometimes people will use like the temp gauges. And they'll use it as a recording device so they can see through it. And it's always the absolute coldest thing.
Right.
In the frame. And then sometimes, like, obviously you can't see it all the time with your physical eye. It's just like, nope. Nope.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Negative energy is not allowed. Yeah. So around the same time, I think this is kind of when the property really got its haunted reputation. When Todd Wolf took over, he was running these haunted attractions. I think it started to pick up interest with the media. And then, you know, you've got your ghost hunting groups that were coming in. We had the Ghost Adventures. They actually did an episode there. So if you have an interest, listeners, in checking that out, if you haven't seen that, they did their episode season 2, episode 16. If you want to watch that, you can check that out on the Travel Channel or whatever little side. I don't know, the streaming networks, you can watch it now. But yeah, just Google season 2, episode 16. You can watch the Wolf Manor episode. But yeah, because of the interest and accessibility of Wolf Manor, it became known as one of the most haunted houses in the United States, with reports of over 300 incidents of hauntings per year.
What?
Yeah, because there are so many people trafficking that area, doing investigations. And I mean, you're talking about full body apparitions, you know, disembodied voices, people being physically touched, the shadow figures, obviously. There's one report that I saw of like a, they call it like a man baby. So it's like this, like it's on video, or there's like a photo of it. It's almost like it's not like a fully formed, like it's,
I'm going to look that up right now.
Okay. Yeah. It's really creepy. Because of the property's condition and how bad it was, you know, the state that it was in, it started getting like a lot of complaints because it was just a hazard to the public. And there were like citations after citation. And eventually it had to be demolished due to safety concerns. So it was torn down in 2014. But there are people that worked in the building that worked during the time that Todd Wolf owned it, that worked on his staff. There was one woman who, her job was like, when people were walking through, she was supposed to like jump out of a closet and scare them during the haunted attraction.
Yeah.
And so at one point, she like came out of the closet and she was like completely white and was completely freaked out. And she said that something grabbed her shoulders and pulled her from inside the closet to the back of the closet.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
So I don't know if she stayed on after that, but yeah, he said that is when he realized whatever was happening wasn't targeting just him, that it was, you know, impacting other people as well. But yeah, during its time, I mean, it acted as a hospital. It acted as the sanitarium. It acted as the nursing home. So there was a lot of death and tragedy and, you know, just mistreatment of the patients and just a lot of negative energy in that place. So there would have been plenty of reason for there to be negative energy just lingering in that space and some residual hauntings, I'm sure. But not only that, but probably some darker stuff too.
Right. Oh, yeah. Nope. When you have really traumatic stuff that happens in any area, you're going to have some weird manifestation shit happen, but no way. No way. That reminds me of that incident at my friend's house when it felt like I got my ear boxed because something like whooshed up towards me.
I wonder what that was about.
I want to know too, because before that the garden shed light was on and the door was open.
Right.
And it was not that way before. And I mean, it happened within a split second because I remember like looking at my friend talking to her. Everything was normal. It was at night. Like nothing, no lights were on. It was just by the fire. I look at my fiance because he was talking and I look back to my friend who was then talking. And that's when I saw that their garden shed light was on. The door was open. And I told her about it. And I'm like, because her husband went inside. And so I was like, is your husband in the house? And she's like, oh, yeah. And I was like, there's something going on with your shed then. And then she's just like, do-do-do, goes right in the shed. I'm like, no, this is how the horror movies start. Like, and she's in there and she's like, oh, yeah, I don't see anything. She's in there for a good minute, you know, getting make sure everything's like on the shelves or whatever. She shuts the light off, closes the door. And then she's like, oh, I'm going to go in the house, you know, and talk to her husband. Well, it wasn't long after that. Like, as soon as she started walking in, she wasn't gone for very long. And that's when I felt like that come right up to the side of my head. Like, if you were to sit in a car and somebody, like, slams the car door for you, it felt like that. Yeah. But it felt like my ear got boxed and my ear started ringing. And I'm like, why don't we go see what they're doing in the house? You know, like, don't address it. I didn't tell my fiance about what happened until we were on the way home because I was like, we're just gonna not acknowledge. I found a picture of that man, baby. That's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Ooh. No.
Does it say the area where it was seen? Or to give a description of it?
It says that it's normally seen in the fetal position on the ground in an open doorway.
Yeah.
And that's all it says in this picture. That's exactly what it's doing.
Blair's face. Listeners, you can't see it, but... no, thank you.
It's going to be a no from me.
no, thanks.
Because it's like in the... In the picture. Okay, so describing it for people, I highly encourage you to look this up if you want to be as grossed and creeped out as I am. But it's clear that like that somebody had like a flashlight and it was taken through like night vision and stuff. And this thing is in this doorway, like not right in the doorway, but it's like off to the side, sitting on the ground in the fetal position. It's not like directly looking at the person taking the picture. Its head is kind of down, but it's kind of like going like this,
like a head tilt,
side, like a side glance at the person taking the picture. And I think that makes it even creepier. It's not, I got chills. Yeah, I have the chills for sure. I'm not a fan. Oh, not a fan. I have chills.
So my question is, you know, this place was demolished.
Yeah.
That's the question.
Okay.
The question is, what happens to all the stuff right? when the place is demolished?
Right?
Where does it go?
I don't know. Like, I feel like if there's, like, buildings next to it, maybe, that some of residual would be
Oh, no. That's rude.
Nah.
Does it just stay on the grounds? Does it stay there even though the building is gone?
Right? That is a great question.
Yeah.
Has anybody gone back to just see?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I wonder. And then I think I saw somewhere that part of the fire, like there's maybe like a fireplace that's still intact or something.
Really? That's that makes it creepier.
Yeah, I mean, because the fireplace is still like a stone structure, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ooh. Mm-mm. Some of it was probably displaced somewhere else, but who knows?
And hopefully they never build anything else on that site.
I was just going to say.
Hopefully they leave it demolished and they never build another building there ever again.
Agreed. Agreed.
Should be a rule.
Yeah. You can't build here anymore.
Yeah. Which I think they're in the process of doing that with Bobby Mackey's right now. I think they're...
I was going to ask you.
Yeah, because I think they were tearing down part of it. But I think the goal was to rebuild on the same spot. You know, same owners.
Right.
Just a better, safer structure. I think they want to keep it, you know, keep it going, keep it in the family and stuff. So
I wonder if, like, what's going to come of that? You know, sometimes we've heard stories about this in the past where like, oh, we're going to take out the old, we're going to put in something new. And that almost makes whatever's there more angry.
Off. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I feel like, is that going to
stir it up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, with that structure in particular, most of the issues came from down below where the well was. Which I don't know that they're doing anything with that.
That was my next question, because I was like, are they taking that out? Like,
no, I think they were leaving that alone. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I want to be involved in any of that, any of that.
Nope. That's just like the whole concept of a relative of mine maybe building on the land, potentially. Mm-hmm. And I'm
all that.
Why?
Yeah, where all that craziness went down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they might have some stories to tell pretty soon.
I wouldn't want to be the one living in that house if they do, just saying.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Just be glad you aren't a part of that.
Mm-hmm. I am very thankful.
Well, friends, I hope that you enjoyed this episode of Hometown Macabre.
Mm-hmm.
It started off a little bit different than we normally do, but that was a fun way to kick off a spooky episode.
It was. We should definitely do an episode, just get deep like that. And it would be cool to have people like submit their stories with situations similar to that.
I love listener tales.
Yes.
I have not had any listener tales submitted recently. I'm kind of bummed.
I know.
Maybe that will spark some interest, having a firsthand account like that. I mean, it wasn't something that I expected to go out to dinner and have somebody drop that in my lap was like a gem.
Right?
So, yeah.
You definitely shocked me today. I didn't know I was going to hear something like that.
Shout out to our nurse friends and healthcare providers. For all that you do.
Thank you. We see you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this episode gave me chills.
It's been a while since we've done a spooky one, so it's always good.
Right?
Love it.
I do too. We need to get more spooky episodes in the ready. Oh, because Halloween is coming, baby.
Oh, man, it's not that far away.
No. Starting to get spooky, people. We want to hear from you. We will do the same. We'll have some other interesting stories this season for sure, but we would love your help. You got those stories. We want to hear them. You can submit them multiple ways. You can do that. You can type it to us. thatsomacabre@gmail.com. You can talk it out to us at macabrepod.com. You can also come and hang with us on the Facebook group page with other amazing freaking people who have shared some accounts. There's some wild shit out there. As always, we just want to hear from you. Comment on something. Let us know if you've had an experience about literally anything. Could be true crime, could be paranormal, because after all, macabre is quite the large umbrella. But yeah, if you are liking what you're hearing, rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. I dare you to tell a friend about the shit that you hear over here. because, I mean, do you even macabre, brah? Do you even macabre? Remember, negative energy is not allowed. And until next time, have fun, be safe, be kind. Thank you, all healthcare workers out there. Big shout out to you. We really appreciate you. And we will catch you on the macabre side. Woof. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.